everybody knows when they should see a dentist. You know, we schedule it in minus September, just so you know, doctor. Should we make an appointment seeing our dermatologist annually?
Yes, so that would depend on the age of the patient. So when, if you're looking at children, so there, most times we get patients who are referred to us because it's not essential for children to visit a dermatologist. It's important for mums to understand what you need to do to protect the skin of their children, but that does not need a dermatology consultation.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast.
Welcome to another Baby Brunch podcast. Today we're talking everything about our skin. When should our baby or you and I see a dermatologist? How should we take good care of our skin? And also, when is the right time to be educated about our skin? Listen to this and many other podcasts on babybrunch.co.za, and a big thank you to our support. Well, today in our hot seats, we've got Dr. Ramlakhan. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Navana Ramlakhan, she's a specialist dermatologist in both medical and procedural dermatology. It's a mouthful, but doctor, I tell you what is a mouthful. Recently, you won an award. You were recognized as the best dermatologist in the best of Pretoria Reader's Choice Awards for 2025. That's a huge achievement.
Well, thank you, Alana, and thank you so much for having me. It's indeed a pleasure to be here today. Yes, so that was an accolade that was really special. Over the years and practice, I'm 20 years in dermatology right now, that was one that was unexpected, and it truly touched my heart because that award came from my patients. As doctors, often, you know, you work hard and you receive awards, but this was different, and I just want to say thank you to all my patients. It really did touch my heart, and it was not something I ever expected in my career as medicine.
I acknowledge the fact that even though you are a dermatologist and we know you as a dermatologist, the way that you support the public, people and patients is like what you say, it's with heart. When I learned about your practice, I realized that even though we said, you know, when should we see a dermatologist? And that's how we started this conversation. You are helping so many people in your practice. Just quickly give people an idea of what you really do. Because this morning, it wasn't about babies or mommies like me.
Yes, so I practice most micrographic surgery as well as general dermatology. I have special interest in procedural dermatology. Of my 20 work days in the month, 8 days I'm in theatre where we are doing skin cancer, and that's Mohs surgery, where we offer a technique for removal of skin cancer that offers the highest cure rate. So this morning, mine was a morning of consultation, and you never know what you're going to, you know, with what we're going to see. And this morning I was, when we just chatted, it's skin cancer. There's an absolute increase in skin cancer. It's the most common cancer that we see in human, and the awareness needs to be there. So for me, the important bit is to bring the awareness that these cancers are common, and we need to visit dermatologists, make sure that the screenings are done so that patients are going to, if these cancers are caught early, they're completely curable. Mm-hmm. With procedural dermatology, that's the fun part of my work. So I do excisions, this is the surgery part, but then I also do procedural dermatology, which is aesthetic work, and that's, I find, empowers people to look their best. One of the things that I do is to make sure that when you do these procedures, they must be safe, so that I've already ticked that box, that before I offer a procedure to a patient, we have safety and efficacy. And when it comes to what we want is we want natural results. So that's where individualized treatments for patients is becoming something that we're doing. So that's a fun bit of my work, and it empowers people to be healthy and to be their best. So that's what I do as a dermatologist. I make sure that people's skin is healthy. So we're treating both pathology and making sure that they take care of their skins.
There's so many questions I want to ask because I also know that you are a mom, but we'll get to that just shortly. I want you also to motivate all of our working moms. I think it's so important that we realize that as working moms that our children are proud of us. So I just want to say from all of us at Parents and Baby Brunch as well, we're proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, I have three children, and although my work is a very important part of my life, my family is everything. So I have three children, and my eldest son, as I said earlier, is also now in final year medical medical school. I have a daughter in matric this year. So, yeah, my youngest son is in grade 9 this year. That brings joy to our hearts, and it's important. They see what we do,
and so
all the working moms. One of the things when I was a younger dermatologist, and my parents, you know, my patients, we had such busy schedules with the patients. I always had a guilt about, you know, how to split my time, but I have no guilt anymore because I know what you're doing right now.
And you
treat your patients and you take care of your children. So we're so blessed to be able to do both, Yeah, it is gratitude for being both a parent as well as being able to practice dermatology.
Well, while we are grateful having you here in our studio as well, we also are grateful for our support.
Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist-recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages.
Everybody knows when they should see a dentist. You know, we schedule it in minus September, just so you know, doctor. Should we make an appointment seeing our dermatologist annually?
Yes, so that would depend on the age of the patient. So when, if you're looking at children, so there most times we get patients who are referred to us because it's not essential for children to visit a dermatologist. It's important for mums to understand what you need to do to protect the skin of their children, but that does not need a dermatology consultation. If there's pathology, often these children will be referred to us. So there's not really an annual checkup in childhood unless the child is going to have a condition like atopic dermatitis. Then you need to see the dermatologist. But as you get into the teens, there, the awareness, you need to become more aware that you need to do screenings for moles because we're looking for melanoma skin cancer. And often once the hormones start to change, there we're going to start making sure that the children come in should there be suspicious lesions. And that's where the dermatologist comes in to map these lesions and make sure that the skin is healthy so there's no risk for melanoma. It's very uncommon in this age group, but I have seen a youngest child of about 13 with melanoma. It does happen. It's infrequent, but that's when all pathology starts. And it's very important in their teens to treat acne because often I find that acne scars both the skin as well as the psyche. So it's very important for parents to, when they try over-the-counter products or they've tried some treatments and they're not getting the responses that they wish, to see a dermatologist. And then when you get into the 20s, I think that's quite important. Here, now the awareness should come with screenings because the two big areas that we see as dermatologists where pathology lies is going to be the damage that we get from the sun. The sun's our source of energy, but it also is where we get a lot of damage. So here we want to start now screenings. And as we get into the 20s, to start being aware that these skin cancers are becoming more common, and then to treat pathology if there is skin rashes, all of those will be, you know, in the teens and the 20s. And then when we get to the 30s and 40s is where we should start seeing our dermatologist every second year, unless the dermatologist recommends that you should see them more frequently, because these cancers become more frequent as we age. Mm-hmm. With regard to pathology, with atopic dermatitis, which is a very common skin disease, we need to optimize treatment, and that's when you should see a dermatologist. And I find that parents often struggle with this in that they would do a few different treatments, and if you're not getting the response where the child is clear, because it affects, and we now what we see is that this has significant impact on the cell, on the child's functioning. So it will depend on the age when you see a dermatologist. But as we get a bit more, as we get into the 30s and the 40s, that's when the screening should become a bit more regular, and you should have a dermatologist who knows your skin and knows your skin type and would advise you.
Do you think that the sunscreen, that it's underestimated?
Yeah, so I think photo protection is something that is really important. So what we see in childhood is that there's two things that I always say to parents, what can you do to protect your child's skin? Because right now, longevity is it's a very big area that people are looking into. So sunscreens is one part of photo protection that we should be aware of. And what parents can do when children are younger is to make sure that they not going to get damaged from the sun. So wearing protective clothing, wearing sunscreens, and not all sunscreens for different ages, you've got to be able to choose them appropriately. So in childhood, over 6 months is when I would start recommending parents to make sure that these children are wearing sunscreens together with hats and protective clothing. They would use more mineral sunscreens. So those are more physical blockers, not to use too many of the chemical blockers in the younger children. And then the trend is later to use more filters that are also chemicals because they're more pleasant to the touch and feel. One of the things why people don't wear sunscreen is that they don't like the way it feels.
Yes.
And people just don't say, they'll say to us when they leave, yeah, they're going to use a sunscreen, but how often do you use it every day? And that's very important. So a feel of a sunscreen is really important. But it's important to photo protect. That's the one thing, because the sun is going to do is give it's very beneficial to us, but it also does harm, and it's photocarcinogenesis as well as photoaging that we're going to get from the UV spectrum.
So before we had this conversation, I said to Dr. Bob, like, how many babies do you really see? And then you reminded me of our derm family. You know, there is the pediatrician. There is you, and I guess a lot of other medical specialists that can help us in this family of trying to keep families safe and healthy. But when would I bring baby to a dermatologist? You talked about referral.
Yeah, absolutely. So often it starts, the child is going to be either with their general practitioner or their pediatrician. And with common skin conditions in childhood, most of them in the first 3 months will resolve. So a lot of times parents shouldn't panic and see your first line doctor, which is either going to be your pediatrician or a dermatologist. Once the pediatrician or dermatologist is now uncomfortable that they're not getting the responses that they're looking for, that's when the child is referred to us. So it's often uncontrolled, or a patient who is not optimized with atopic dermatitis, those patients, or seborrheic dermatitis, neonatal acne, a few of these conditions where parents then will seek dermatologists, but often that's going to come via a referral from a pediatrician or the general practitioner. And yes, you should have a team that supports you. And I often get referrals from the sisters when the child goes in for their immunizations, that the sister will say, you need to go and see a dermatologist because the child has got a skin barrier that is disrupted and needs to be treated.
Sure, referral and the power of it. So give us some advice. I mean, do you have advice for parents who want to set their children up for good skin and good health into adulthood? I know that you more recently attended a conference overseas. You came back with some knowledge and information, because the buzzword on everyone's lips is longevity. You know, we want to live longer. We want to live healthier. We want our skin to be good. We want our bodies to function longer. So what advice can you give us as parents to set up our kids with really good habits when it comes to their skin?
Yeah, so that's where we were at MCAS. And yes, longevity is on the tip of everyone's tongue. So what you want to do in childhood is to develop routines that are going to help children with their skin barrier, to protect skin barrier. And I can go into that a little bit if you wish, because that's very important. Skin barrier is where you're going to use proper emollients and make sure that you don't get disruption in the barrier, because a lot of this disease that we see is as a result of the disruption in skin barrier. And then to protect from the UV radiation. So two things that I can give advice is make sure that we treat barrier, and that would be making sure we know how to choose the correct moisturizers, what cleansers should we use. And my advice is, in a child, is to keep it simple, not to use too many actives. And then to use the properties of moisturizers that I would recommend for kids, as many parents, with all these products out there, how do I choose? Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is keep it simple, to use gentle cleansers in the young child, not to use fragrances, because all of those could lead to irritant and contact dermatitis, which we want to try and avoid. So for a child, it would be important there to use moisturizers that have both a humectant property as well as an occlusive property. So that's having moisturizers that have glycerin in them, petrol autumn. Those that are not going to, those that have urea, won't disrupt barrier and help to repair barrier. So that is really important. I must say, in the years now, my 20 years of dermatology, we didn't really focus on that. When we actually always treated pathology. And being able to have an impact or to keep the skin barrier safe and make sure that it's healthy is really important. Photoprotection is very important, and that's where sunscreens, that's a big topic on itself, but essentially what you want to do is to make sure that the child doesn't burn from the UVB and now also infrared radiation to protect them from these damaging rays.
Well, I have to also at this point say a big thank you to Epimax, because they put us in touch with Dr. Ramlakhan. Without you, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So thank you to our team and our support. Let's talk the first 5 days of baby's life. I don't know why I get so excited, but when there's a baby in the room, we all get very excited. So please give us 5 do's and 5 don'ts so that we can help and support all of our moms and dads.
Yeah, so I'm just going to give you what happens in the first 5 days of baby's life and why is it so important. So there's a transition from the baby being in utero and being surrounded by this amniotic fluid, which is the fluid that the child's in. And then the baby enters this environment, and here now you get exposed to the air. And then so we're going to lose a lot of the moisture from skin. So in those first 5 days when the child is born, it's important to help them transition to get the barrier function intact and to make sure that we are going to optimize barrier, because within those first days is when the child's barrier is going to mature, very similar to what an adult will have. So what we want to do is to make sure that we don't use harsh soaps on the baby, to moisturize, so thermoregulation is from skin, so they lose a lot of heat from them, from the skin. So protect the baby by keeping them warm, not too warm, but not using clothes that are going to irritate, so not wool, use cotton clothes. So do's would be to moisturize, not to bath the baby often. When I say that, lots of parents will think twice a day, that's too much. You know, you want to bathe the baby once a day, and not to use product on the child that's going to disrupt barrier. So we want to protect barrier function, and we want to protect the microbiome of this child that is maturing.
Doctor, how often should we run to Google? Because you see a rash on baby, on person, on child, on yourself, and you immediately want to take a picture. And the reason I ask this is because I know that you've got a wonderful online practice.
So I started this online last year because the dermatology practices, unfortunately, we not many in the country, so often dermatology practices are fully booked. And one of the things I realized is that you want to reach a child with acne who sits in some small little town that does not get to see us, or a parent who is concerned about a rash that may be more sinister. So that's where I started the online practice, and that's more to triage my patients that require urgent attention. Google is dangerous. So I'm not against us going and getting information, but I think you shouldn't get a diagnosis on Google. It's good to, you know, to get a feel of what you may be dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I often find that people come in and they've done a whole Google search and then the diagnosis was incorrect. So the first thing to do is to make sure that we're dealing with the correct diagnosis, and that's where the dermatologist comes in or your doctor comes in. Because once we know the condition and we've made a diagnosis, we're then able to manage. And often that's not what happens, because we have a perception of what we're dealing with, and then we look into treatment modalities that may actually be harmful. So it's You will use it as a tool, but it's not going to be used to diagnose. But I would say that now these online platforms are a way to get an answer so that you can enter a doctor's practice. So we have Dr. Nirvana, which you can go on to and do online consultations, but there are other doctors who do similar. So you can access dermatologists via the online.
Seeing that you are a dermatologist that also practices online, I'm going to give you the symptom, and you need to give me something to do about the symptom. Are you ready?
Okay.
Because I'm not, but I'm going to try my best. Okay, here we go. Baby has a rash. We don't know what's wrong. What do we do?
So that's very nonspecific. We need to know. So where's the rash? The distribution. So if we're looking on the cheeks of children often, so I'm going to give you what we see commonly, okay? So if you see a child who has a rash, dry, scaly, itchy, on the face, on the flexural area, so all the body folds, think eczema. Think that this may be, and if you have a family history of asthma or A to B, these go very closely, they tie in, so that's the atopic triad sometimes that we talk about. So think that this child may have a tendency to atopic eczema or atopic dermatitis. If they have a rash in the nappy area, so that may be an irritant contact dermatitis. Very nonspecific with rash, because we see so many rashes in children, but often it is going to, so the most common rash I see in children is atopic eczema. Seborrheic dermatitis, which is also a type of eczema, is something that we see in younger children from birth up to about 3 months is when it starts, and that's usually the cradle cap. Very different from atopic dermatitis, because that one is more related to children who have genetic they're born with a genetic issues regarding filaggrin mutations. So that's with skin barrier. So it's important for the parent to be able to differentiate between these two types of eczema, which are the most common rashes we see in children.
Dr. Marquis just became very serious, because as you started speaking, I realized that you're speaking about my daughter. Do you know that that is how we realized that she had asthma? Yeah. So yeah, it was a visit to a derm.
Yes.
And, okay, wait, back to the quiz. Okay.
All right.
So my teenager has a zit.
Yes.
Do we put toothpaste on it?
So that may be irritant. So I wouldn't use the two. So it's common, and we're all going to have some degree as you're growing. It's hormonal changes that we see. So the microbiome, I touch briefly on this, and what we find with acne is that there's going to be bacteria called Corynebacterium, which tends to, so this is dysbiosis, there's an increase in this bacteria in the skin. So we want to use products that are start, if it's a single lesion, then you can get over-the-counter products at the pharmacy, benzoyl peroxides, and if you need prescription, retinoids are prescription. So that's a good way. So if you have mild acne, as dermatologists, when I see a child who has acne, I'm going to ask, is it mild, moderate, or severe? Right. Mild acne, you can treat with over-the-counter products and cosmeceuticals. So that's where products which are having salicylic acid. One of the issues that I find these days is that most people are seeking actives, and they will have, so if they see a child has acne, they're looking for all the actives. So they'll do benzoyl peroxide, they'll do salicylic acid, and yet the child would come in and they have more of an irritated skin. So the reason for that is that if you put too much of actives on the skin, you're going to get an irritation. So what we want to do is make a diagnosis. And then when it's acne, start with over-the-counter like benzoyl peroxides, and then use cosmeceuticals for acne. If it's once you go to more moderate, where there is going to be a risk for post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, you should see your general practitioner who can start on prescription medication. And when it's more severe acne, that's my advice, is those children should be, or young people should see a dermatologist mm-hmm. quite early, because we don't want to scar the skins. And that's where we as dermatologists now can cure acne and prevent scarring.
And it started with a zit.
Started with a zit. So you got to look at one yes. zit versus is this now, because it's a first
yeah,
start.
You...
And so that's important.
Ingrown hair. This is still part of our quiz, doctor. I'm diagnosing online. There's an ingrown hair and it's in my hubby's beard.
Yeah, it's folliculitis. It's often patients who have thick, curly hair that develop these. So it's something where proper shaving, do not shave too close to the skin, because then the hair follicle, because it has a curl, will grow back into the skin. And then to use good emollients to make sure that we have the hair follicle, which is surrounded by keratin plug, is going to, that hair follicle is able to come out of the hair is able to come out of the follicle. So it's proper shaving techniques there.
And then tweens, laser shaving, yes, no, and why? This is actually an online question that we got. So we're talking here about tweens who are starting to grow hair.
Yeah.
And the mother in this particular case wanted to know whether we laser or shave. So what's your preference to go to as a dermatologist?
I think as a young, because it's expensive to do laser treatments.
Right.
And you've got to be aware that lasers have complications. We often do laser hair removal. It's a very common work. It's a request for patients because it's a permanent, more long-term solution to hair removal. But however, if it's a younger patient, shaving, if it's gentle, is a way to get started. And I often would advise the parent that you want to start lasers a little bit later. So shaving, yes, they can, just proper technique and to be gentle, use good emollients after shaving. So yes and no. I would say to start, there's lots of preference in this, and it depends on the skin type of the child, it depends on what type of hair they have, whether you would say yes to shaving or no. Mm-hmm. So someone who has a tendency to ingrown hairs, you'd be more careful because then you're going to have more ingrown hairs if you have, and that's usually thicker hair. But if you have fine hair, shaving may be an option. I think it also depends here because lasers would be best in the long term. However, lasers don't work well for patients who have lighter skin and lighter hair because you need a target in the skin. So individualized therapy is really important and you need to get advice on that.
Well, talking about advice, there's a lot of you that's listening to this podcast because I mentioned babies. And yes, we're speaking about our babies too. Now, there's a few questions that came through with regards to babies, and this is right after birth.
Right.
So, doctor, let's head back to the first 10 days, let's say, of baby's life. The question was, what is lanugo and vernix?
Okay. So lanugo is the hair that you often see on babies when they're born. It's this fine hair that the children are born with that you see in the first couple of days of life. And the vernix is this coating that the child has, this yellowish, it's a fatty material, that whitish material that we see on children. And what that is, it's actually protection from the environment when the child enters into the world, because while they're in utero, that vernix, which is what it's made up is water, and it's got some there's fatty material or lipids, and then the shedded skin of the baby. So it actually provides a protective coating over the child, and when the child's in utero, the fluid will cause the skin to, it would damage the skin because the child would, so this actually protects. And when the child enters into the world, it's antimicrobial properties that this has. It helps the child not lose too much of heat. So it's for thermoregulation. And then not to lose fluid, because as the skin barrier, which I've been mentioning, matures, this is actually helping here to mature the barrier. So it's these protective layers. And the lanugo, which are the fine hairs that you find on the baby in utero, it helps that protective layer stick to the baby's skin. And within the first month, or that's the neonatal period, that falls off. So it's the hair that falls off. Yes.
So what is exciting about the questions that we got? So it was actually a conversation. When should baby's bath be the first time? Oh no, but I don't like my baby being coated in this white stuff.
So and it's protective. They should keep it there. Yeah.
So when should we then give baby the first bath? Because if I know the benefits, I almost don't want to wash it off.
Yeah. So you know, I think a lot of recommendation now is to at least avoid bathing the baby for the first 6 hours. Okay. And 24 hours would be great, but it would depend on the parent. So I would say 12 to 24 hours, a baby child should have their first bath. Okay? So that's what I would recommend. And not frequent bathing. So if once the child has, once they take their bath, it's important then to make sure that we then put emollients onto the child to make sure that we protect barrier. Because we are, in these first couple of days, we want to mature that skin barrier so it has the properties, which is going to be physical protection. It's an immune function for the skin. It's also going to be anti, you know, bacterial, antimicrobial for the skin. So although we think of it as just a skin barrier, it is what protects body from the environment. So in the first couple of days, we are helping that mature. So it's the skin barrier that matures within the first couple of days.
This has been, I mean, we've had many conversations about skin, but I think today's was so powerful and beautiful. How can we get hold of your online platform?
So it's drnirvana.com, and then just hop on there and you can go through with the online consultation.
What's your advice to women who are dynamic and want to be working moms, but the guilt is not freeing us enough?
So the guilt, as you get, so with, you know, as we mature, realize that you want to give your children the best. So don't have the guilt. And you're going to do your best for both working moms and dads. And I see this across the board these days that parents find we both, often it's both parents that are working. And so you want to give your child the best. So the time that you do spend with them, make it count. Quality time. For me, the one thing these days is that the tech that we are all surrounded with, which is great and we need it, it takes away a lot of connection. So I would say to moms who are, you know, who are busy, not to feel guilty. You're doing your best. And one of the things you should do is empower yourself, because that helps you to do your best. Once you take care of yourself, you will better take care of your family. So it's really important to not only look out for your family, your children, and I often find parents or mums in particular, dads as well, sometimes neglect their needs. So take care of yourself and not just your health, but making sure that you at your best, both mentally and as well as physically, because longevity is now reflected, as dermatologists, we're seeing it, and a lot of times your skin health is going to reflect what we see in your daily health. So no guilt, do your best, and I think at the end of the day, that is what we all hear, and your family will see it, so that's important.
Doctor, it has been wonderful having you on Baby Brunch. For this and many other conversations, you're welcome to log on to babybrunch.co.za.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. A quick thanks to our support. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist-recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.